told us. Parashas told us is really the first time that we see the direct conflict between Klal Yisrael and Umos Olam. The conflict between Yaakov and Esav, the beginnings of secularism against spiritualism, spirituality. It's the beginnings of where Klal Yisrael are beginning to go on their journey and the Goyim are evidently going on their journey. And what's very, very fascinating is in the Haftarah, at the end of Parshas told us, there's a strange Haftarah, there's a strange few Pesukim, which sort of give us an insight to understand the entire Parsha from the back way. In other words, understanding it from inside out, as it were. Look in the Haftarah. It says, Masod Dvar Hashem El Yisrael B'Yad Malachi. Okay, this is a Nevuah B'Yad Malachi. Ahavti Eschem Omer Hashem. I love you, Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. V'amartem b'ma'af tonu. And I said to you, with what did I love you? Says the Pasuk, Haloi ach Esav le'Yaakov, Noam Hashem, your brother. Esav is a brother to Yaakov, said the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ohev es Yaakov, and I love Yaakov. In other words, Yaakov and Esav are brothers. Says the Torah, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love Yaakov more than Esav. Ves Esav sonesi, and I hated to Esav, va'osim es horov shmama v'znachlosa l'sana b'midbo, and I'll destroy him. In other words, the Pasuk is saying, I'm telling you a chiddush over here. Klal Yisrael, I've got to tell you something. I love Klal Yisrael, I love Yaakov, and I hate Esav. Shkoyach. Of course. Klal Yisrael are the semelov of Oivdei Hashem, of Bonim Atim Hashem Alekeichem, children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, following in his Derochim, and Esau the exact opposite. What's the Chiddush of the Novi saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael and he hates Esau? What's the Chiddush? So I want to work this Teretz to this. I want to work backwards into a very important few kashas at the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha talks about the birth of Yaakov and Esau, and eventually the Pasuk says, V'yigdol ha'na'orim, they grew up, they became older, became a mitzvah. And the Pasuk says, Vayhi Esav, Pasuk, Perichov, Hei Pasuk of Zion, V'yigdula ha'na'orim, the na'orim grew up, Vayhi Esav ish yedea tzayid ish sodeh. Esav was a man of yedea tzayid. He knew how to hunt, literally. Ish sodeh is a man of the field. V'yakov ish tom yoshev oholim. And Yaakov was a man who was tom, a man who was simple, as it were, Yoshev Oiholim, who dwelt in the Oiholim. Now, what does it mean, Ish Yedea Tzayid? Says Rashi, Yedea Tzayid, says Rashi, Lotzud Valeramoy, says Ovid Befiv. He was able to trap his father with his mouth. He was glib. He was streetwise. He was a liar, and he was able to trick his father. He'd ask his father all different complicated questions, which don't really have any sources to answer them. How do you be, how you ma'aser melach, etc. So the father thought he was medaktik b'mitzvahs. That was Esav. Ish sodeh. So Rashi, he was an odd and bottle. He's a guy who enjoyed his leisure. He enjoyed life. On the other hand, Yaakov was an ish tom. Says Rashi, einoi boki b'choleda. He wasn't a boki in any of these things. He wasn't glib. He wasn't a streetwise guy. He was elokliboy kainfiv. He spoke his heart. He was straightforward. Says Rashi, Misha einu chorif leramois koritam. A person who is not very sharp, a person who does not know how to swindle, is called a tam. So Esav is described in the Torah as a sharp, conniving individual, and Yaakov is a straightforward, tam, sort of a little bit naive, perhaps a simpleton, straightforward, not really, you know, doing very well in the world, in the real world of business. He speaks as hard and doesn't really get very far. That's what the Pasuk seems to be saying. If you knew Yaakov Avinu and you go through the parashas, we find that Yaakov Avinu is as good negotiator, and when he needs to, he changes the whole situation round to make sure that he gets what he needs. Whether it's with Esav, even in the Rechem, and still in his mother's womb, he was fighting Esav to get what he wanted. Eventually, he sold the Bechira at a time when Esav was at his weakest stage. He managed to get everything from Lavan, even though Lavan was the greatest liar and thief and cheat there was. He got his way when he needed to. So how can you call Yaakov an Ish Tom? a simpleton. He wasn't at all. Yaakov was as sharp as it takes to get what he wants. Number one. Secondly, what's Peshat over here? By Esav it says, Ish, Yodei Atzayid, Ish Sodeh. The term Ish twice. By Yaakov it says just once. But Yaakov, Ish, Tom, Yoshev, it only says Ish once. Why by Esav does it say two descriptions of Ish, Ish? And by Yaakov does it say Ish, Tom, Yoshev, Holim, only once of the term Ish? Okay? And the third kasha obviously was a kasha beforehand. In the Haftorah, it seems to say a chiddush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael more than Esav. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael more than Esav. What's the chiddush over there? So there's two beautiful pieces I saw in the Divrei Cheskel. Divrei Cheskel is the Cheskel Shinova, the oldest son of the sons of Rav, Chaim and Tanza. My great-great-grandparents were Tanza Chassidim, were Shinova Chassidim. My great-grandfather comes from Shinova, so I've got a bit of a affiliation with that sefer. So the Divrei Cheskel says two beautiful pieces in this week's parasha. He said, if you look in the parasha, it doesn't say the Yaakov Tom. Yaakov was a Tom. It says Yaakov Ish Tom. What does it mean difference between Yaakov Tom and an Ish Tom? He said that's all the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mulchama and HaKadosh and Hashem Mulchama and Hashem Ish Mulchama. What does it mean to be an Ish Tom or an Ish Mulchama? An Ish means to be a balabais, to be in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not create wars. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls wars. He's an Ish Mulchama. He controls who wins and who loses. When it says over here Yaakov Tom, it doesn't say Yaakov Tom, it says Yaakov Ish Tom. Yaakov was able to completely control when he should be a Tom and when he shouldn't be a Tom. In other words, there are certain middos a person is born with. And these middos are natural consequence of, call it the psychological or genetic makeup of who he is. You get some people who are very, very good hearted, very, very generous. That's a good middah. That's a fantastic middah. A person goes through the life being generous to everybody. That's great, but that's not perfection. Perfection is when a person is able to control his generosity and know who to be generous to and who not to be generous to. When to be stingy and when to be generous. You get somebody who is extremely obstinate, a real akshan. If a person is like that in society, he can really get himself into trouble. He's a difficult kid to bring up, he's a terrible husband to have, he's a difficult father. But if he takes his akshanus and he flips it round and he uses akshanus for the good things, he'll never be late for shacharis. He'll never miss a shir. He'll go through Shasta for Yemi time after time after time. He'll never miss an opportunity. He's very strict with himself and not strict with others. To be an Ish Tom, says the Pasuk, is Yaakovina use his gadlus of Titan Emes Li Yaakov. Yaakov's an Ish Emes, but he knew exactly when to be Emes and when exactly not to be Emes. That is perfection. To have a middah and to know when to use it and when not to use it. It's brought down from the Baal Shem. From Levi Subedichev, excuse me if I say a few chesidish about it. Okay, Levi Subedichev brings down that the koyach of a person controlling his midas can only be if a person completely sacrifices who he is for the sake of Ratzon Hashem. To say to Rabbeinu Shleilam, I am not this person. I am who you are. You know, they try to psychoanalyze Reb Chaim Brisker. Was he totally intellectual? Was he kuloi lev? Totally emotional? Was he a person who was strict? Was he a person who was completely bending? They could not work him out because in every situation he was as extreme of exactly what Kodesh Baruch wanted in that situation. That's an Eved Hashem. And the godless is to take who you are and completely bend it to whatever Kodesh Baruch wants you to bend it to. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never forget. It's brought down in Medrash as follows. Ubayoyim apokti ufakati aleim chatosem. Pasuk says in Shemos Lama Beis Lama Dalet. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises always to remember the Chet HaEgel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll never forget the Chet HaEgel. The kasher is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ava Rachamon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Slachti Kidvarecha, I've forgiven you. So what's Pesha HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I'll never forget the Chet HaEgel. Please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please yes forget it. So Levi's tradition said it completely the opposite in his typical manner. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Klal Yisrael is you have natural middos of being Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, what the Torah is offered to you, you just follow the longer instinct of following HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being a nice guy. Want the Torah? Yes! Ah, Avram got the Torah, Yitzchak got, you know, Yaakov, the Shvatim all wanted it. And therefore, when we offer the Torah, we're going to be the natural nice guy to get it. Do you get schar for that? Yes, but not very much. If 40 days later, they can turn around and say, Rabbeinu Shleilam, we're going for the Egel, we don't want the Torah, means that they weren't naturally easygoing people who just followed the path. These people made serious decisions. And if a time came when they can completely go against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll do that too. Which means that the time when they did go with Rabbeinu Shleilam was their own decision to do so. Says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll never forget that you did the Egel. I will always remember that you had the choice and you made the right choice when you received the Torah. You weren't just following along the way because you're just gullible people accepting everything. No! You made a choice to accept the Egel, therefore that shows that you're people who make serious decisions. When you receive the Torah, it's because you decided to, not because you just get pulled along by the nice winds. That is gadlus, Rabbi Yisai. Gadlus is to use the koichas that you have and to be in control and sometimes be kulei lev and sometimes kulei moyach. Reb Chaim Kaufman used to say that he knew somebody from England, a wealthy man, and any person who was asking for money, he'd give him money. You know, you'd get yeshiva coming in for money, he'd give them a donation of £180. You'd get a kohel coming in, £180. A mikveh, £180. Battersea Dogs Home, £180. The Anglo-Christian Muslim Society, you know, £180. Everyone gave £180. Says Reb Chaim, that's not gadlus. That's not gadlus. He's generous. But that's not in control of his generosity. That's just somebody who's just following along. In fact, the Manal of Geisha of Lezer Khan used to say, the Pasuk says, by Tztoker, says, Aken anoichim etzav cholemo pesoyach tiftach es yodecho lochicha neyecho. Open up your hand. What's Rishat, open up your hand? He said, when you close your hand, when your fist is clenched, all your fingers look the same size. Okay? Open up your hand, you'll see that every finger is a different size. He said, when tzedakah, don't keep your hand closed and look at everyone exactly the same. Open up your hand and take each case by itself. One case deserves a huge amount of tzedakah. The other case deserves absolutely nothing. Control who you are. Don't get carried away by your mercy. Oh, you see this dog with one eye, yeah, with his mouth all like mulled up. You know, it's Save the Dog campaign. Maybe it's a good thing. I'm not saying, you know, Sabal Chayim, Avada. But when it comes to putting money into that and putting money into something, it doesn't look that bad. Yeah, you got somebody, a coil. Yeah, fine. A person, it doesn't look so terrible. Maybe, you know, I've got more achmonas for that. That's not how your decision should be based. Your decision should be based on control of what is Ratzon Hashem at this stage. There's one tremendous godel. Who somebody came to him, an oni came to him, and Nebuch, he had terrible, terrible tzoras. His house was falling apart. He didn't have food. It was absolutely horrendous. And the godel gave him a huge amount of money, set him up on his feet. And then he gave him, just before he left the house, another large amount of money. So what's that about? So the first time I gave it to you out of my rachmanus, I didn't give it to you because that was Ratzon Hashem. The second time, Baruch Hashem, I didn't need that much rachmanus. I gave it to you because Ratzon Hashem told me to give you that money. That is in control. That is Ish Tom, a man who is in control of his tamus. That was Yaakov Avinu. Shmuel, do you mind? Sorry, just taking out. That's the first idea. Ish Tom Yeshiv Aholim. He was a person who was in control of his tamus. When a Kosh Baruch wanted him to be one way, he was that way. The other way was the other way. A person with control of his emotions. A person with control of his body. I just read last week a beautiful story, and it's so typical of my Rosh Hashiva, Zeichet Tzadeh V'Kodesh Yivracha, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zchus HaYogin Aleinu. I'd often go into him and he never had koyach to sit up. And I once went into him and he asked me to start reading a ketzos from him. So I read a ketzos, and he's completely had no koyach. And suddenly out of nowhere, he sat up and he went across the road to the yeshiva. I don't know how he even walked, and he gave a shir klali for an hour. He had no koyach. I promise you, if you had to make a cup of coffee for himself, you could not stir the spoon. But to go and give a shir klali for an hour in the yeshiva, he could do that. Why? Because his body is not his. He was controlled by Ratzon Hashem. There's a story I read in the Mishpacha. And also had a beautiful edition, especially from Nosfei in the Mishpacha, that he was learning with his chavrusa in a home that's of one of his donors, who gave him like a holiday home, and he didn't have the correct furniture that he needed, and he was on an armchair that had no back and no sides, and he was lying down on the armchair, and his chavrusa, this bochel, was going through a shver toisus with him, and he was going through a toisus, and it was a difficult toisus, and bochel said over pshatim toisus, and just then the Roshiva had such a spasm that he got catapulted off the couch onto the floor, head first down onto the floor, face down on the floor, and he's lying on the floor, the bocha froze, and Reb Nosson Tzvi said to him, I didn't get that, Zog Iber, say over what you just said, Peshatim Toisus. He lifted his head up, Zog Iber, Zog Toisus, Zog, say over what Toisus just said. He's lying face down on the floor, and the bocha said over what Toisus says. Ah, oh, very good, now I understand, very good, now can you please ask my wife to come and to help me get up. Completely in control of his body with regard to what Rabbein Shoyden wants. I can't control being flung off the couch, but I can control my head sticking up and saying, forget about my body, I am now listening to Dvar Torah, I am now in control of my body, I, the Neshama, is in control, not allowing my body to tell me what to do. I tell my body what to do. If my body is going to go to Shir Klali, I give a Shir Klali. If I'm going to schlep to America, I schlep to America. You, just because you have Parkinson's body, cannot control me. That is an Ishtom of Balabais. Somebody came to Reb Nosson Tzvi. Reb Nosson Tzvi made a fundraising trip to America. And Yeshiva is and was in a terrible, terrible financial situation. And somebody had given the Rosh Yeshiva a check of $100,000. $100,000 check. And Rosh Yeshiva put it in his pocket. A short time afterwards, a Rosh Yeshiva came to Reb Nosson Tzvi and said to him, I'm closing my Yeshiva. I just can't anymore. The debts are getting so high. I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't function, I'm closing my yeshiva. Reb Nosson Tzvi took that check of $100,000 out of his pocket, he stamped it at the back, and gave it to this Rosh Yeshiva. His accountant sitting next to him says, Rebbe, we need it for our account. He said, it's all the same account. It's all one account. It's all Rabbi Shalom's account, it's all Torah. My yeshiva, his yeshiva, what difference does it make? That's in control. That's an Ishtom. And that's Klal Yisrael, and that's Yaakov Avinu. That's one Peshat. What's Peshat in this double Loshon? Ish Tom, Ish Yedea Tzayid, Ish Sodeh, V'Yaakov Ish Tom Yish. What's the two Ish, and what's the one Ish? Rav Chaim Kaufman, Zeichei Tzadik Livrocha, brings down in his Mishcha Shemen, and he used to say this very, very often. He's very close to the Shotzer Rebbe in London. And he said that at the time, I'm not sure exactly what year, what year did they send Neil Armstrong up to the moon? 1969. So it must have been in the late 50s and early 60s, they're already talking about sending people to the moon. And the Shotzer Rebbe once said, there's no way they can ever send a man to the moon. It says, Hashmayim Shmayim Lashem, for Oretz Noson Livnei Adam. Shmayim belongs to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Oretz belongs to people, there's no way they can send a man up to Shmayim. It's not going to happen. Anyway, years afterwards, the Mentzias showed that they were able to send a man up to Shemayim. So Rabbi Chaim Kaufman met the Biala Rebbe. Biala Rebbe, who was a chavrusa of his in Gateshead, for many, many years, they were chavrusas together. And he asked him what the Shatzer Rebbe says. So the Biala Rebbe, with his pitchus, asked him very, very well. He said, if you look what they sent with them from Earth in order for them to survive, it shows that they really are not living on in the moon. They're sending oxygen with them. They're sending food with them. They're sending special suits that they shall survive in them. This is not people who are living going to the moon. These are people taking everything, single thing artificially from Ha'aretz and taking Ha'aretz to the Yireach. But they're not on the Yireach. They're not in the Shemaim. They're not living with the Shemaim. They're living in Ha'aretz. They're living in on the moon, but they're not living on the moon. Hashemaim, Shemaim, Hashem remains. Shemaim, Shemaim, Hashem. For Ha'aretz and the land below, they're just taking a bit of Ha'aretz to the moon. But they haven't gone to the moon. Hooray, they can't live there for 1 second without what they're taking from Ha'aretz. So Reb Chaim, made a twist on this. And he said, you know, you call somebody a footballer. He's a footballer. What's a footballer? A person who plays football 24/7? A footballer is somebody who's mehus as football. When he can, he plays football. That is his life. He's got to sleep. He's got to eat. He's got to, you know, someone's got to go to the bank. But he's a footballer. A person who's a drunkard. Does he have to be drunk 24/7? No. His mahus is being a drunkard. Sometimes he has got to go to business as well to make a bit of money. But he's a drunkard. He said, with Yaakov Avinu and Esav, there were two opposites over here. He said, Ish is where who you are. Ish is who you are. Where do you come from? He said, you can go to the moon and you can be a person on the moon, but it can remain an Ish Ha'adomo. You're remaining from the ground. In other words, you're living, you're taking all your sustenance from the world. You remain an earthly person. Esav, let's start with Esav. Ish Yedei Atzayid. What's Ish Yedei Atzayid? He knew exactly how to fool his father. He'd come in, you know, the Shvera Kash on the Rambam, you know, and stroke his beard. Ah, you know, and Mamish, ah, come in with his father. And by the way, Rabbi Isai, they say a very powerful vot. Yitzchok was one not obvious. You know, when we go into an Gadol HaDor, you tremble that they can smell who you are. Right? When you used to go to the Arizal, the Arizal can see all the various on the person's face. Right? Going to Yitzchok Avinu was going into the Godlership of Gedolim. You cannot imagine. How can Esav go in there and fool him? How was he able to do that? You go into a godly, he looks into your eyes and, oy vey, you know, oy vey, he's lost in the horror, and oy vey, you know, he starts doing tshuva, you know. And, you ever had that feeling? Your mama says, Yiras Aramis, you know. And Esav was going to Yitzchok, and Yitzchok, wow, psh, wow, tzaddik, what's pshat? Mefarshim say that every time Esav went in to Yitzchok, he did tshuva shleima before he went in. Complete tshuva. He was at tzaddik gomor every time he went in. When we went out again, he was completely a rasha. But when he came into Yitzchok, he was at tzaddik gomor. He was ish yedei atzayid. He knew exactly what to do in order to trap Yitzchok, to know exactly how to fool Yitzchok. He was an ish in that. On the other hand, as soon as he left, he was an ish sodeh. He was a complete different metzius. He was a man who liked his leisure, who liked his gluttonous lifestyle. He was a complete rasha. He was two different kinds of ish. His metzius was a life full of stira. Life full of stira. I think the Klosenberger Rebbe used to say, you know, the beginning of the parasha talks about somebody, Rivka goes into Shem Ve'eva, she's very troubled. Why is she very troubled? When she goes past the base of Avodah Zarah, yeah, it goes past the base of Eidah Zorah. Esav starts, you know, there's what the child starts getting all upset. She goes past the base of Medrash. Ah, the one she feels. So what does Shema Eva tell her? You're gonna have two children. Oh, everything's okay. What do you mean everything's okay? Well, I'm still gonna go to Eidah Zorah. Oh, well, I'm still gonna go to the base of Medrash. Fine, base Medrash Baruch Hashem, but base of Eidah Zorah. What's gonna help you? What do you feel so great about? So the Klosenberger, you know why? Because if one goes to the base of Avodah Zarah, Nebuch, he should go to the base of Avodah Zarah. But at least the one who's going to the base of Medrash is not living one day base of Medrash, one day Avodah Zarah. One base of Medrash, one day Avodah Zarah. It's better to have one child, Nebuch, make the palgino, make a split, he goes to the base of Avodah Zarah, than to have one person who is one day base of Medrash, one day base of Avodah Zarah. It's like the Satmarov came to America and he saw a big sign, flashing sign, outside a butcher shop, kosher, kosher, kosher. He said, ah, sometimes yes kosher, sometimes not kosher, sometimes yes kosher. He said, to have some of the yes kosher, sometimes not kosher, that's what troubled her. To have some, one child, the base of Avodah Zarah, fine, what can I do? Okay, Nebuch. But that is what worried her. To have, Esav was the ish yedei atzayid, A greater tzaddik, on the other hand, is the ish sodeh. He was a man who liked his leisure. His complete lived in stira. Yaakov was one ish. Ish tom yoshev aholim. Everywhere he went, he lived in the oyhel shel Torah. He lived one life. Even if he did business based on being a ben Torah, in order to be able to facilitate his needs for to be a ben Torah. When he went down to the street, he was a ben Torah. Everywhere he went, there was an ish tom yeshivon, who was one mitzias. He wasn't this split personality that Esav was. That's another difference between Yaakov and Esav. First of all, Yaakov was able to control who he was. Yaakovina was able to control his emotions completely for Avodas Hashem, and he was consistent. He was somebody who can continue day after day, and even those things that he was outside the Beis Medrash, he was still the Ish. He still, his whole being was from the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Cheska Levenstein asks a Meiridige Kasha. Meiridige Kasha. We always talk about the fact that a person does not become an upper kuris overnight. It's a process. And the danger is, the Pasuk says already, v'sartem, v'avadatem nekim acherim. V'sartem, you start moving a little, going off the path a little bit. Eventually, v'avadatem nekim acherim, you'll start serving other gods. But there's a process. V'sartem is a process of going off the derech and then serving Avodah Zarah. What happened to Esav? It's brought down. The Avmina died at 175. Why? Why not older? He did not want to see his grandchildren, his grandchild, misbehaving. How old was Esav? Okay, trivia question. How old was Esav when Avram Avinu died?
15.
Okay, why 15? Avinu was how old when Yitzchak was born?
100.
How old was Yitzchak when Yaakov and Esav were born?
60.
How old is Avram Avinu when he died? 175. So Yitzchak died when he was 60, and therefore Yaakov and Esav were 15 years old when Avram Avinu died. Right? What happened with those 2 years? After they were Yigdul and Orim, after their Bar Mitzvah, Das Kanim says he kept a low profile. He managed to hush it up. He managed to fool Avram Avinu for those 2 years. Okay, listen to this. Now, the day Avram Avinu died, this is where the whole story of the Bechira started. Says the Medrash, what did Esav do that day? Says the Medrash, he did 5 things. He was boiler. What's the Gemara say? He was boiler.
Kilarayish
v'chzama v'idazara. 5 things he did on that day. Yeah, the yivos Esav is habachira. Yeah, terrible things. He did all the various. What happened? Esav was such a good boy. In other words, he's being controlled. And suddenly, the day Avram Avinu dies, he goes from the highest level to the lowest level in one day. It doesn't happen. The person can lose everything in that time. How is it possible? How is it possible that Esav became the worst possible person in such a short period of time? Says a Chaskel Levenstein, a very powerful thing. Yaakov Avinu and Esav Arosha were two opposites. And he said, even if you cannot see that at the time of when they were developing, but you could see it later on in 1 second. In other words, the principle that a person cannot fall from a very high level to a very low level in a very short period of time is 100% true. It's a fact. It's a fact. The person will not become over the Vodazar overnight. It's a fact. If so, how was it that Esav did that? The answer is, even though he was somebody who didn't the Maisa show itself, but when Yaakov and Esav were sitting next to each other in the yeshiva, and Esav was learning and Yaakov was learning, Yaakov was learning the Shem Shemaim. Yaakov was learning in order to grow and to become great. Esav was learning in order to know how to be meramis, how to lie, how to swindle, how to look good. And therefore, he was completely primed to do everything wrong. All he needed now is a button to press, and off he went from the highest level to the lowest level. When Yaakov Avinu was an Ish Tom Yeshiva Holim, when Yaakov Avinu's whole life was going towards Avodas Hashem, Esav was all about learning how to lie, using the Torah to be novel b'shus haTorah, to using Torah to look like the great person in order to fool people and to steal and to treat them. Says a Chaska Levenstein, you sometimes see two bochrim or two avreichim sitting next to each other in yeshiva or kollel, and they look exactly the same, learning chavrusa together. And one asks a kasha, another one answers a kasha, another one answers a kasha, one asks a kasha, and it looks as if they're exactly the same. And look at them a few years down the line. One has both gone to business sometimes, and one is an Erlechiyid, and he's Kaveya Itin, and he learns, and he davens, and his wife is sneers, and his home is free, Rahman al-Itzlan, from any kind of garbage that the world serves up to us, and he's bringing up his children Kedarko, but in a derech of Torah, and his Chavrusa from a few years back has gone to work. And he doesn't look like the Ben Torah anymore, Rahman al-Islam. His family doesn't dress the way they should be dressing. His children are not speaking the same language. They're not going to the same right kind of Kedorim. What happened? The same Chavrusa, what happened? The Teretz is, one was working to become a Ovid Hashem, and the other was working in order to fit into society, making no effort to become great. And as soon as he had to leave that society, he went to where he really belonged. This is what the Pasuk is telling me. When you have the conflict inside you, when you have the two ish inside you, then what happens is, when one is pushed to one position and one has to remain there because of society tells me I have to be there, as soon as that pressure is left go, then a person shows his true colours. And Esav on one day can become this Oved Avodah Zorah, this murderer, and this Menuyef, all in one day. And Yaakov is a whole Koyach of Ishtoi Meshav V'Holim. And that's Peshat in the Medrash. That's Peshat in the Haftorah. When the Haftorah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love you Yaakov. I love Yaakov and I hate you Esav. Is not talking about the things that we can notice, the difference between Yaakov and Esav. It's the things that we can't notice between Yaakov and Esav. It's those things that they do exactly the same at that time. Yaakov and Esav eat. Yaakov Avinu is eating the Shem Shemayim. He's eating because Rabbeinu Shloim tells him to. He's controlling his midas. He's growing in his Avodas Hashem. Esav is eating for his taiva, for his gaiva, for his kovod. They're both going to business. Yaakov Avinu is making a business in order to be able to support a family, to pay his ksuva, to buy a lulav and esrog, to buy matzahs, to be mefaras and mishpacha, to become bnei Torah. Esav is doing it to mala his taiva. And they're both going to the same business. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yaakov Avinu, the business that you're working in, I love you, and Esav, what you're doing, I hate. In exactly the same thing, Hamavdi ben Kodesh Shechol, it's brought down in Siddurah Shal Shabbos. Hamavdi ben Kodesh Shechol, ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheshet Mei HaMaaseh, ben Yisrael La'amim, is not talking about the difference of Shabbos and Yom Tov to a weekday with regard to those malachas that are also on Shabbos and are mutter doing a weekday. It's those malachas that you do on Shabbos and you do during a week, there's a hevdolah, there's a difference between the two. Shabbos, I'm eating the Einik Shabbos because there's a mitzvah, and during a week, I'm doing it for different kinds of mitzvah. That's a hevdolah. The hevdolah of Umay Soilim to Yisrael is not just how we control ourselves about doing Issa and Heta. It's not about being consistent in controlling who we are. It's taking ourselves and making ourselves into Avodas Hashem to such an extent that even what we do is same as Goyim. Even the mundane things we are working on because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to. Because that is how we're going to grow. And that is what's going to separate us, to make us one-ish. Not to make any conflict inside me. I've got a business side to me and a Torah side to me. No. There's one Bnei Torah, Ben Torah going out to do what he has to do. Sometimes he has to learn and sometimes he has to go to business. And that is the difference in Klal Yisrael and the Goyim. It's control over your midas. The ish tom, to be controlled over who we are. To make decisions based on our Avodas Hashem, not because we're naturally inclined to do something. It's a concerted effort to make sure that there's no steerus inside ourselves. There's not ish tom, there's not ish yedeh inside ish sodeh. There's one ish tom, there's one ish the whole way along, who's keeping Avodas Hashem going. And finally, the malachas that we do, that are not necessarily directly connected to Avodas Hashem, seemingly from the outside, if we can direct that to Avodas Hashem, we can make even those mundane aspects of our life into Kedusha Tahara, then it really makes us into one Ishtom, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu love us. And as the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, and they have Torah, for all have this Yaakov, the Kodesh Baruch Hu love Yaakov, as Hashem give us everything we need.
Have a great day.